Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everyone? How you guys doing? You guys got to turn down that whatever you guys are monitoring on. How you guys doing? It is the Independent Riders. We're going to have a guest on. He's trying to figure out how to get on the show. And we got the rest of the riders here. We even got Wild on Twos here for a few minutes. He had to drop off. Hi, there they are, man. There's my Independent Riders. Great stuff. We just got off of Discord with a little creator seminar, so we might be late with our special guest. Wild on Twos, if you guys don't know, that's my crime partner over on the Neutral Zone.
I snuck on today.
You snuck on, man.
Yeah, I was like, send me the link. You're like, which link? I go, tonight.
The tonight ones. Neutral Zone, make sure you go over to Wild on Two's channel, check him out. And then we got the J-Man out in Ohio. How you doing, J-Man? What's your channel and all that good stuff?
I'm good. I did a video on taking a door latch off the other day, if anybody's interested in that.
Oh, at least you didn't do a video taking a crap. That works. But go visit him. He's going to put his channel in the comments section. We got Gray Star. What's up, Gray Star?
What's happening? Look, like the new digs I got on my head tonight.
Oh, man. We got an Independent Riders hat on there, man. Rock and roll.
Oh, yeah.
He also has a channel on YouTube, so go check that out as well. And then we got King Bedlam here, man. What's up, Bedlam?
Not much. Sitting at work, making that green. Sitting on my ass. That green.
But we're going to have Danny D'Lo on as soon as he figures out how to get in here. Today, we're going to be talking, guys, about bike builders. And I'm glad that we got all the old guys in here now to talk about this subject, especially since it's the bagger age now. And I wanted to know a couple of your guys's favorite bike builders and what sets them apart, what makes the men out of boys type of stuff. So Wild on Twos, you're up first, man.
No, you guys go first. I'm here to first row seat.
Exactly. So you go first.
Be a lady.
No, I mean, like I said, I don't really have too much of a favorite builder at all. I mean, like, I don't have – my experience was a 1957 BSA Classic, and I kind of just jerry-rigged the hell out of that one with duct tape and stuff to fix. But, I mean, back in Florida, it's more of a – this guy Velasquez, he's not a big name, but he used to grab some – it looked like rat bites, basically. And just put things together, and he made some awesome choppers. And I got to look at the place that he built, but I know it was right by where American Choppers opened up right now in Florida, and he has a place down there. And I got to look him up, though. But the last was, I think his last name, does some awesome builds. I mean, some badass, all custom, handmade. I mean, his bike would take a while to build it, but Yeah.
What about you, Jay, man?
I got so many favorites. Indian Larry, Billy Lane, Jesse James. I mean, I grew up on West Coast choppers, so, you know.
Well, you know what? Jesse James especially, he's my favorite. And I don't think it's because of the builds he makes. I think it's because of his work ethic. I think he's one of the best metal workers out there. Here you got a guy who's a multi-millionaire, but he still goes into the shop every day for 12 hours a day. You know, his work ethic.
His message is so strong in every build, you know. It really gets to you.
Uh-huh. Right. What about you, Gray, sir?
Jesse is one of my favorites, man, strictly because not only the work ethic, but the style he puts into it, man. He does not make an ugly bike. Those things are just gorgeous.
Bedlam.
Man, I'm old school. I like all the old guys. I don't have a favorite, you know, but I will have to correct you, though, as far as between Billy Lane and Indian Larry, man, that last bike he built before he passed, you know, the Chain of Mystery bike, that was a badass bike. Now, as far as metal working, if you can put some chains together and weld that shit together for a frame and keep it together, that's a badass bike. That's right. All I got to say. No. So, yeah, that's the only, that, as far as metal working goes, yeah.
Well, you say
I don't have no favorite, man. I even like the old guy, you know, old who was that, Big Daddy Roth and all them guys. So I'm just old school. I like the old choppers. I like the old kickstarts and shit. So
that's what you say old school, Bedlam. What makes old school to you? Is it the old shovel heads, the pan heads with a sugar bear front end? What do you consider the old school chopper? Or the old school?
The old book? Is what I grew up around down here. You know, the old kinks, the old slim bikes. Before the fat tires came in. You know, and the old king queen seats. You know, that's what I grew up around down here in St. Louis. You know, that's what everybody had back in the day in the '70s and shit. So
right. Do you think, J-Man, that the Easy Rider's bike is what defined the chopper?
Defined the chopper? I don't know. I think they were building them long before the Easy Rider bike ever came out. So.
Oh, yeah.
But do you think you don't think it defined it, but don't you think that bike is what brought it to the public attention?
Again, in California, they were doing it since the 50s, you know.
Yep. I
mean, so, yeah, it was nothing new.
So, back in the day, you had Arlen Ness before it became more commercialized with Arlen Ness products before he passed away. So, with the knuckleheads, that's what I remember Arlen Ness. And then once everything started coming out, of course, I have an Arlen Ness cleaner. But, I mean, other than that, I really didn't follow much anymore once he got a little more commercialized. But he passed away, I think, in 2019. I forgot when he passed away.
What do you mean by commercialized?
Not commercialized. Just, everybody has their business. Then when you have, it stops going away from handmade in their own shop to distribution and someone else making your product, you give them the designs, the patents and stuff, and someone else is building them. And of course, that's how you scale business. But just like anybody else's, once they start doing that, I think it takes away from some of the mystique of the bikes built, you know, just like if he hand built a bike or a part for you and just sent it to you directly and took a while, I think that's more mystique compared to you can order online and it comes from some distribution center.
Orange County Choppers comes to mind when you speak of that.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
We couldn't talk about bikes without talking about them. I really didn't like them. I didn't like their style. I thought it was a gimmick. I couldn't even believe Paul Jr. beat out Jesse James in that one build with that big-ass monstrosity that they brought on. What do you think about Orange County Choppers, Bedlam?
When I used to, I like some of their bikes. When it was the father son routine when they had the show. I used to watch it occasionally, but yeah, I mean they had some nice bikes. You know, they did a lot of, I guess, sponsored bikes, I guess you could say, or they gifted them. So I don't know. I like Indy and Larry's story behind his bikes and why he did his stuff. You know, he didn't do it for a customer. He did it for himself. You know, when he had an idea, he'd just do it. You know, these guys, you know, nowadays everybody's drawing it out on paper and scaling them up and every damn thing, putting everything on, you know.
Yeah, because back in the day, like in the 50s and 60s, there were a lot of racing bikes. A lot of builders started to take things, the junk off their bikes, to make them more streamlined for racing. And they became very custom look for these races. And that's how I think a lot of them started customizing bikes more for races itself.
They took the old coffee shop bikes and did that. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, what they did in England is they stripped them down to make cafe racers. That's where cafe racers came from, was England.
Yep.
One of these days, I got a bike out back that I want to make a cafe racer myself. So,
well, you guys talk about Paul Jr. and all them, or Paul Sr. They did, you know, spring a distinct look for the chopper. Remember when them suckers were going for like $80,000? But now you can't even get rid of them.
And now you can buy one for $8,000.
Right.
They opened up, they're like a franchise, not almost a franchise, but I think in Clearwater they opened a big American Chopper. I don't know if
I've seen some reviews right here on YouTube actually that have told us that those bikes are actually junk.
Oh,
they are. They're non-rideable. None of those OCC bikes were, you weren't expected to ride them more than a month.
Well, and granted, Jesse James makes some bikes that you look at that and like, no way, my bony butt is going to get on that bike and ride across Mexico. Just can't do it. But, you know, he does.
Yeah. I mean, it's like some of, like Toby North, he was saying, like him or not, you can't literally blame OCC for what they did. They may not have started the whole thing, but they damn sure took it to a different level. Which is true, but just like any business, when you get money in your head, you start cheapening your product a little bit, and more you're thinking about your profit margins rather than the quality of work you do.
We just got Danny D'Lo into the studio. He finally figured it out, man. You know, technology dropout right there. Anyway,
a little bit. You ain't telling the motherfucker that's from the 90s, bro.
We're talking about bike builders right now and stuff. You're into the Cholo style, aren't you?
Yeah, kind of.
What are you riding right now?
I'm riding a Bagger right now. It's an Electra Glide, 2005 Electra Glide, but you know, I got the big motor, rims, bars, sound system, all that shit. Nothing Cholo about it, man. It's pretty basic, but it does the job, you know. But yeah, I used to have I had a Cholo Softail, I had a Cholo Road King, then I had the big wheel Road King. I had a Road King with a 26 on it, and that was kind of Cholo too, with the air ride and all that. So that's kind of my thing, but I like to ride a lot, so I have my Bagger.
Rock on. One of the other shows that came out in the early 2000s that I actually liked was the Biker Build-Off. Now, yeah, for us older guys, the Biker Build-Off is where you were introduced to somebody like Indian Larry, Billy Lane, Jesse James. What did that show bring to the way we see bike builders today, Wilda?
Well, I mean, it was a little different, though. For big names now to go to areas, there used to be a lot of competitions. A lot of the festivals will have Biker Build-Offs. And then you have things that are really, really original, and guys will actually travel. Because right now with social media, people can do different build-offs and more productivity. But back then, you really have to sell yourself to try to be the name in the underground. That's where the money was back then for a lot of these guys. But Mm-hmm. A lot of festivals I've been to now, the bike off, the builder bike offs are not like it used to be. I've been to one or two, and it just seemed like everybody brought these bikes that almost said custom, but it's like a semi-custom home, right? Just like it's kind of cookie cutter-ish. Almost all of them are looking alike to a point and styles, but I haven't seen one in a while. When I was younger, my dad used to take me to a bunch of shows and festivals. But I mean, coming from Miami, it was different, right? Cubans, the bikes over there that they're customizing, it almost like he says, talk about Cholo. Mine were like big systems with, you know, bass on there with DJ Laz playing and Magic Mike and stuff. It was totally different. I never saw the bike scene until later on. So,
what got you interested in this?
It's a big deal bike thing now.
Yeah.
Well, Jay, man, you're up, Jay, man. What was your thoughts on the show?
Getting interested in choppers. My brother got a 1974, I think it was, and it had a 750. It was a Harley Davidson frame with a 750 Honda motor on it. And I was 14 or 15 when he got it. And me and him worked on it all summer until he got it running, and he sold it 2 days after he got it running. That pissed me off. So ever since then, I've tried to get another chopper, but I've never had an actual chopper. You know what I mean?
Mm. What about you, Danny? What did that show bring to you?
You know what, man? I always liked the choppers. You know, it was cool. It showed off what people could do. And stuff like that, like my man here, J-Man, was just talking about, like my first Harley was an 82 FLHT or FLT, and I got it in bags, crates, Walmart bags, like it was all over the place, you know. And my brother, one of your brothers, Hollywood Red, helped me put it together, and you know, and I got it, and it wasn't a chopper, it was just an old shovel head, but I chopped it all out because it didn't look like it originally looked like, you know. Mm-hmm. And it just, I think it gave all of us bikers ideas on what to do on our bikes, you know.
Right. Well, that's another thing. What do you call a chopper? I mean, is it something that you take parts off of or something that's got a long front end? You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, the guy he's talking about, Red, this guy, he's a mechanic of a mechanic. He knows what he's doing. He knows how to tear up a freaking iron head and put it back together within a couple hours.
He still got his iron head too.
Still's got it. That's awesome. You know, is it still yellow or is he painted that again?
Nah, he painted it tangerine orange with silver flames. He just rebuilt it again and got it going again. He's been riding it.
Oh yeah, I got to get him on again. But I think the way the scene has become, it's become a flashy type of scene where it's more, they want to kick the dirty biker out of the whole deal and they want to go all flash and glam.
It is now. It's no longer biker building. It's they're not even building bikes. I mean, you can't call yourself a bike builder if you take a bunch of plastic fucking saddlebags and some plastic shit and glue it onto your tank and you put this long fender on and you call yourself, yeah, I built it. Man, dude, all you did was put some bolt-on parts on. You didn't build shit.
Bags, yeah, the extended plastic bags that have the...
I mean, don't get me wrong. I like it. I love the shit. But, you know, it's more my style because I'm like old school and new school. But when I look at these guys that call themselves builders, it's like, bro, it's all bolt-on shit, man. You didn't build anything, man. Somebody else built it, and you put somebody else's parts on your bike. So you didn't build it. You created it, but you didn't really build it.
Yeah, there's a lot of MCs. Well, not a lot. There's one MC out in the Midwest that they only ride choppers. You have to have a chopper. And those guys actually still
together. Old school chopper dudes. Yeah, I've seen some videos on YouTube of them, man.
Very old school, small MC, but very well known.
What about you guys? There's like maybe one or two like newer guys and like younger guys, like maybe 40s. And it's all about old school choppers.
What about you, Gray Star? What was
it used to be?
That biker build up. What got me about that show, man, was they would build, get two people to build bikes, and they would drive and ride across country to meet up to a spot and then do the build off contest there. I thought that concept was awesome.
That's how you knew the bike was real.
There is a small riding club. I won't give the name out, but in order to be a part of their club, you actually have to build your bike. So, which I think is kind of a cool idea.
S&S W Custom Cycle we got in here right now, and he addresses the issue with the bolt-on stuff. The problem is nowadays is scratch building liability, which, yeah, that does change the field, especially nowadays with Sue Happy People. Bedlam, you in there, Bedlam? Or is he sleeping at work again?
Oh, I'm here.
You just have your chin up.
I'm good.
You talk about the Hog Rock Rally all the time. They got a show down there?
No, but they do. There's guys that do bring in their, you know, the old school choppers. I mean, not even the raked out ones. They got the ones that you'll see guys that have the forks come all the way up. I can't even remember what the hell style that is now, but the tanks are like, it's so high of an angle, it's ridiculous. But yeah, they don't have actual bike shows. I mean, everybody does bring their own style of bike down there. I mean, I've seen different styles of paint jobs, everything from rebel, full rebel flagged out bikes to, you know, yellow and flames and everything. But they're usually there is a couple of bikes that are brought in from companies and they set them out. So,
right.
Just a quick thing as far as, you know, the biker build off, you know, that whole scene, that was all like custom culture scene, man. You know, when everybody wanted to do custom work on, you know, vehicles, it went straight from vehicles to bikes, you name it. But it's just like Danny said, you know, everybody's doing this bolt-on stuff, and basically the custom culture scene is just dead. That's what it is. It's a dead scene. So, exactly. I mean,
the whole bike scene is kind of dying out, man. I mean, at this point, it's all about, you know, I see these guys, man. I mean, don't get me wrong. I got a huge sound system in my bike, too, and I love that shit, but I also ride my bike. These new guys, they put this 30-inch wheel on and sit in a fucking parking lot and jerk each other off all day. Like, look, my sound system's bigger than yours. And it's like, what the fuck? What was this, Abercrombie and Finch biker? Like, what's going on, man?
Those bikes are not meant for highway, and they're not meant for...
No, they don't ride them. They don't.
They don't ride them.
They trailer them there.
Their bags have all the speakers and system.
What do you think? Why is the reason why the custom culture is gone? What caused it? This political PC crap we're in?
In my point of view... Go ahead. Go ahead, Danny.
Oh, my bad. I think it's just a new generation, man. You know, we have such a generation gap where, you know,
they don't
there's no
work.
More old school, man. I mean, old school bikers just ain't, you know, you just got such a new generation where everybody just wants to look pretty and they're not about that biker life, man.
I hope it's going to be a style again. Like if, let's say Harley, for some freaking reason, does a retro knucklehead. Or so, you know, I'm hoping that the cycle, just like clothing and shit,
that would be a wonderful thing, but we all know it won't happen.
It's just like clothing. People are wearing shit I wore in the 90s and stuff.
I think that's a lot of it too, man. I think Harley Davidson changed the game too, though. You know, they quit promoting for bikers and started bringing in the weekend warrior, you know, wannabes, you know what I mean? So
they'll spend more bang for your buck for the weekend bike if they want to show and ride compared to the everyday.
And plus the price of bikes too, man. I mean, can a real quote unquote biker afford a $40,000 bagger? No. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, we can build one, you know, we can build our bike, we can work on it, we can do whatever, but we can't afford that shit, man. We're, you know, bikers are too busy being bikers, man. You know what I mean? Like,
Well, let's start. I'm going to go around the round table. I'm going to start with Wild on 2, J-Man, Denny, Graystar, and Bedlam again. And I'd like to get your thoughts on this question where Danny just said a new generation. Now, we're seeing a lot of problems within different areas of the style when it comes to a different generation. The newer generation, like I say, was all about flash, the how they look. And they actually go after the bikers that actually paved the way and the styles arise. If you ever, you can go on actually YouTube right now and see the San Francisco Hells Angels about why they came up with Sportsters, the choppers, why they, there was a use for them that they had to have. But the way they look at the older greasy biker type of stuff, where I believe the bike builder came into play, was them type of guys. What are your thoughts on the, say, changing of the guard and where it's leading bike building now, Wildon?
Well, I mean, one of the things I think, like, same thing as, like, Harley. I think Harley played a big part of changing only because, like Danny D said, the price of a bike is so expensive right now that these younger guys rather get a rat bike, get something that is going to be affordable. Because there's a lot of people say bikers are, I mean, there's a lot of people riding bikes. I mean, people are buying bikes left and right, used bikes, but they're buying things that are affordable. And the generation now, I think for some reason, care more about, they don't care about the sound of a bike anymore. They look for efficiency, price, more bang for their buck, and what it takes them from point A to point B. And it is evolving. I think, like I said, people, who's going to buy a $40,000 bagger when you can go, they buy a Honda or a Kawasaki something for like 15, 14 grand, interest-free payments or something. They're going to, although all of these kids don't care about a bagger. They don't really care about baggers. They care something.
They don't care about branding or something.
So I think it's a big divide about generational regards of same thing. I almost bought a Challenger, but when I rode it, it is great specs, but it felt like I was riding a Road Glide that had a baby with a Goldwing. It felt plasticky, quiet. It didn't feel like a bike, and I ended up getting my Road Glide Limited. For me, I just needed that metal. I needed that sound. I needed that vibration, something I knew and felt years ago, but the new generation, they don't care about that. They'll complain about the noise and complain about the vibration. But then they'll soup up their bikes and only ride it from bar to bar, not even ride the bike. So,
what about you, J-Man?
What was the question?
Oh, but before I'm going to be taking off now. I got to go. I got the family waiting. I'm going to take them out to dinner. Danny D, we got to hit it up one day. Graystar, thank you. Beltlum, Jamon.
Peace out, brother. All right,
good night.
I'll see you tomorrow, man.
You got it.
But yeah, back to my question, the choppers haven't went anywhere. They're still being built. The younger generation is still building them. There's a couple guys in Massachusetts. They run the Easy Company. I don't know if anybody's watched them on YouTube, but they build some sharp ass bikes, man. Knuckleheads, panheads, shovelheads. They've even done a few Evos. They build some nice bikes, man. And they're all done by hand, no cookie cutter shit. You know, all stock stuff. Another bike builder, Pacific Mike. The guy's excellent, man. On old shit, top dollar, man. You know what I mean?
You Bedlam,
but
what's up?
Not your original question, man. I'm sorry.
None. When Wild was talking about Harley Davidson and the younger generation, I was just thinking, and you know. My idea was, you know, how long, you know, I thought they would be more worried about how long of a extension cord they would need for, you know, the Harleys now.
That's 2035.
Yeah. But, yeah, that's the other thing that hit me, you know. I just kept thinking, you know, extension cord.
Right. Well, you know, one thing that hasn't been mentioned chopper-wise, Danny, is the old 70s CB750s with the front ends. I don't think I've seen one of them in a long, long time. It's not only Harleys you to chop out. You to chop out the XAs, 650, Yamis. It's I think somebody doing it on their own gives it their own personality, where you say a lot of stuff just bolt on now.
That's a thing too. A lot of people forget that back in the day, just like today, bikers couldn't afford a Harley. So they would chop out them old Hondas, and they used to be badass too, man. Like, I've seen a few, and they were really cool. Matter of fact, I just saw one on Marketplace for like $2,800. I ain't gonna lie, I almost thought about buying it.
$2,800,
it was cool. You know what I mean? It's like,
you need to grab that sucker, man.
Right, I know. That's what I was like. I was like, damn, man, I should buy this bitch, but I'm like,
You know what? We mentioned that bike. Yeah, I have to say, and everybody will laugh, man, but that movie, Any Which Way You Can, with Clint Eastwood with the Black Widows, the head guy rode one of them old 750 choppers, man.
Yeah.
It was a beauty.
Yeah.
And they had, you know, with that four-car. Yeah, it was like, man, you'd have dropped them things from a building and it wouldn't kill it.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, you could ride them all day long and just put some gas and oil in it. That was about it.
Right. Graystar, you're up, man.
I think the new generation, man, they want to graduate high school and go buy themselves a Harley Pan Am. That's just
You know what? That shows the different generational deal is because the Pan Am is actually a very popular bike right now. It reminds me of the 80s when remember the Enduro, Danny? We used to call them Enduros here in Chicago where they could go off-road and stuff.
Yeah.
I remember those. I used to make those.
I'm waiting to see what they can do with the Pan Am now.
Hollywood,
the Pan Am's a cool one. It don't sound like a Harley. Should sound. I'm sorry. It just doesn't.
Well,
None of the Harleys do, though. None of them do.
I think there's the Dyna craze now with the younger guys, and there's some good builders out there working with the Dynas. You know, I got a Dyna 2015. I'm still trying to get used to it. It's not like a fat boy-y, or it's not like a bagger. It's just got a different feel. It's a lot faster because it's more like a sportster with a hepped up engine. But there might be some hope that they continue building on something because of these Dynas. What bike do you guys think is going to reignite the builder type of mentality?
I think they need to bring back the Victory. Let's be honest.
Oh, shit.
What's a Victory?
The Victory.
Go ahead, Jamin.
Okay. You and your damn Victory, man. I've been watching a lot of people doing builds on regular street bikes, and they're turning them into, supermotos, enduros. I watched a video where they took a 250 Suzuki GSXR and turned it into a dirt bike. I mean, it did all right.
Hey, Bedlam, you remember the days, and I'm talking about trikes. I'm not talking about these stupid-ass trikes nowadays. What I'm talking about is the old Volkswagen trikes. The
Volkswagen?
About 20-foot front ends.
Yeah.
I think
they still – I was going to say, that now, down at Hog Rock, there's guys that come down with those. You'll see those down there. You know, where you got the big three-seaters and shit with everything and the raked out. Yeah, there's quite a few guys that bring those down to Hog Rock.
With a beer, you know? Beer keg for a gas tank?
Man, they are some awesome bikes. I am not kidding you, for being built bikes. You know, and most of the time you'll find guys trying to sell those down there. They'll sell them right there on the spot. You know, so yeah, those are some bad.
I just think it's a dying type of artistry, or they're artists when they build them bikes.
That's every bike builder is an artist, and it's in their own way. You know, whether it be their paint job or how they build the frames up, you name it, or whatever they put into the bike. You know, so and depending on what style of bike you want to build, the way I look at it.
No, exactly. we're going, well, Danny, you're kind of an expert on the sound fact. I was up until recently, because I got a little freaking helmet thing with a radio, and I was never used to riding with a radio and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. With the systems nowadays, what is the draw towards you have to have 15s on a bagger and bump out like you're, you know, back in the neighborhood in Chicago with the old sound system? What is the draw to that?
You know, I don't know what brought it on, to be honest with you, man. I do laugh at the same guy we used to see making fun of guys putting big wheels on a car are the same guys now that you see putting 32-inch wheels on their bagger. You know what I'm saying? It's like, come on, man, stop it. But I don't know where the draw came from. And I think it's just it's like anything, man. It's this generation has different parts in it. You know what I'm saying? You got the ones that like the enduro look. You got the ones that like the Pan America crap. And then you got the guys that like the big wheel bagger. And you still got kids that like the old school choppers. Like, you almost got like a mixture in this generation of a little bit of everything, you know. I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, I like listening to my music loud. Anybody in the area that we both know, Hollywood, they'll tell you they hate riding next to me because they can't even listen to that radio. But I still, again, I don't get these dudes that sit in parking lots and play their music loud as fuck, but they ain't riding. They ain't going nowhere. Like, bro, you've got no miles. You've got no stories. You've got no history behind you. You just got an Affliction shirt and a $15,000 sound system that your punk ass didn't even build. You didn't even put it in your bike. You had some other place do it for you. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I think there's just no class in the biker scene anymore, man. No self-respect. You know what I mean?
Now it's going to – I'm waiting for the PlayStations to bump out like they used to do in the old
– I'm positive. There's got to be somebody out there. I've seen TV screens. I thought about putting one on my bike. I ain't going to lie to you.
Pimp My Ride. Like, remember that show? They probably got
Pimp My Ride. Yeah. we're gonna do a Pimp My Bagger fucking show.
How do you think Jesse and Indian Larry, if he was here, or Billy Lane would fit in to the current state of the bike building?
They wouldn't fit in, man. They'd be looked at like, you know, big scary bikers. You know what I mean? Like the new generation of bikers, man, they're not about riding. Like I said, it's the look at me generation, I guess. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. What do you think?
But I don't think they'd fit in. But then again, I think them guys would build a badass a bagger, like a real bagger. You know what I mean? Like they'd probably get in where they fit in.
Right.
I think Jesse James would tell them all to screw off.
Oh, yeah, Jesse would. What do you think, Bedlam? You think they'd fit in today?
No. It's just like Danny said, yo, it's the look at me generation. That's why they play that music loud. That's all it is. That's why they turn it up, man. Look at me. Look at my big wheels. That's it. You ain't got nothing going. See, it's all show. It's all show and glory. Look at me. You know, they don't put no hard work in. So, you know.
No, they don't.
What's that saying, J-Man, that, like Danny says, they just sit in the parking lot, they don't ride, they don't get the stories. How can that even be in existence, I wonder? And, you know, you're in your 50s, and we're all older guys here. I can't see that. I can't see why would you do something like that.
Well, it all falls back on when you were young, what did you do? You went to the bar, you bullshitted, you drank, you partied. Now that you're old, you want to do more riding. That's me. I want to do more riding. Back when I was in my 30s, I was at the bar every night. You know what I mean? But and not riding. So it's all changed now.
See, I grew up with old graybeards my whole life, man. So I've always been about the ride, man. That's where the stories and the history and the experience comes in. You know, I guess I've never really been young, you know?
I didn't buy a bike to go to a bar. Seriously, I bought a bike to ride that damn thing.
Right. And by the way, everybody in the chat room, Danny D'Lo, he has his channel here on YouTube, as well as Graystar J-Man Bedlam. If they can put their links in the chat box, that way you go see them. We got our independent riders here, and Danny D'Lo, Insane Throttle is going to be helping him get going. A lot of real people on this panel compared to a lot that you see all over YouTube, which is real awesome to have these guys on the show. Where do you think?
Nope, just lost Danny.
Danny's gone.
Where do you think that the future is going to be as far as building? Because you know in about what? 15, 20 years, it's going to be hard to get a gas motor, probably.
Well, Billy Lane's still building. He's still building his still streamlined, you know, old school chops that he used to build. In 15 years, yeah, you're right. There's going to be a lot of bikes that are sitting because EPA laws are going to get so bad to where you're not going to be able to ride your bike with no pipes, no catalytic converter, running, you know, unleaded gas. I mean, I'm sure by then it will be electric and, you know, hybrid shit. So you're going to have to go that route. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to ride your motorcycle. Mm. It'll be in museums.
Right. Graystar.
The way the world is going nowadays, man, I'd be surprised in 15 years if building a bike is even legal to do.
Well, we're seeing that in California right now, aren't we, Bedlam?
Yep. I mean, I'm not out in California, so I don't know what California laws are or what they're doing exactly. But I know California is a shit state, and I don't want to be there.
Put it this way, Bedlam. If you think about it, you're going to get taxed about it.
That's well, yeah, California is. They're tying everybody's hands, even the local citizens out there. So, period. End of story. Mm. You can't do nothing without somebody in government knowing.
So, right.
But yeah, I don't know what as far as the future holds for the biker or bikes being built. I think they may become stricter. I think you're going to have more licensing, more certifications and everything. They're going to hold it to a higher standard for safety reasons. That's all. You know?
Well, that's why Harley quit making the Sportster, especially for going overseas, because the E5 law or whatever they got over there.
Yeah, the E85, yeah.
It's so strict.
You couldn't
build the Sportster to pass the emission.
What it looks like, you see what it looks like now? Jesus, man, it don't even look like a Sportster.
Right?
No. To me, like it's not.
It looks like a Pan Am threw up.
I like that one. Yeah, I don't think there's much you can do with that kind of design. Danny D'Lo is back from taking a pee, it looks like.
Nah, man, you know what? I went to put my link in the fucking chat room, and I hit the wrong button, and I was like, boop, I'm gone. I was like, oh. Like, damn, you're a touchy-ass fucking situation over here. So I ain't putting no link. You know what? Look me up. Danny D'Lo on YouTube. You'll find me.
You'll see this ugly mug
somewhere around there.
If anybody in the chat room can help him out, any of my moderators, grab his channel link and put it in here. He's not the best at technology.
Watch this shit. It's pretty good stuff.
I think I'm the youngest dude on here, but I'm also the dumbest on here. Ain't that a bitch?
I don't know about that.
The question.
Technology is hard, brother. Just relax and go with the flow.
For sure. I appreciate you.
The question, Danny, the question at hand was 10, 20 years from now, you're probably going to have a hard time finding a gas engine, more or less. How do you think that's going to affect the build scene going to them, you know, say an electric bike?
Well, obviously, you know, if you want to survive in a building game, you're just going to have to transition. You know what I mean? You're going to have to. You're going to have to go with the flow, whether you like it or not, you know? It sucks, but I don't really see that ever happening, though. I really don't, man. I mean, we've been dependent on gas, you know, for way too long. I don't think that's ever really going to happen, though, man. Personally, I don't think it's going to happen because our politicians make a lot of money off of oil, so they're right. not going to allow it to happen. You know what I mean? Hey,
J-Man, what do you think, say, a Jesse James could do with the live wire? You think he could come up with something?
I watched him, guys. I don't know what Jesse James could do with one, but I watched some guys that took the live wire concept and they built a CB750 out of batteries that they made themselves. It's called the Inja. It's an awesome project. So yeah, I would have to say they would probably do. He would probably do something similar to them. Make his own battery, basically. That's the only thing you can do with that stuff.
There's the link for Danny D'Lo's. Thanks, Harm, for that, man.
Thanks, Harm.
Yeah, thank you, Harm. I appreciate you, man.
Harm's been one of my moderators since the beginning. You think Billy Lane could do something with the live wire bedlam?
Yeah, rip it all apart and start from scratch.
And put a gas motor in it?
Yeah, put a gas motor. That's what Jesse would do.
Yeah.
Right. Gray Star, there was one guy that really never got any credit like he should have back in the day. And that's because of the way people looked at it at the scene with the different groups. But he actually made the best Springer front ends ever known, and that was Sugar Bear.
Hell yeah. Yeah,
no doubt.
Sugar Bear was and is the best at building them front ends.
No Where doubt do you, about it.
He actually built the front end for the Easy Rider's bike. Where do you think it went wrong for those that were artists like him? Was it because of society's biases that he didn't get the recognition?
No offense to your name there, bro, but Hollywood changed it for everybody. If you weren't on a chopper back then with long rake, you know, you were nothing. And unfortunately for Sugar Bear, I think that's what hit him, because he had some really nice Springer front ends, man. I think those are badass. I still to this day dig Springers. I'll see one sitting in front of a bar or something somewhere. And I'll have to stop, get out, and go look at it because it's so badass. But, yeah, I think Hollywood had something to do with that.
Toby asks, so fast forward 20 years with the electric bikes going at the current pace, does anyone see a larger segment of electric bike owners outgrowing the current segment? Anybody you want to answer that?
No. I will.
Go ahead, Bedlam.
I think there will be. I think eventually you see how the government's pushing a lot of green right now. Okay? Green lawnmowers, electric lawnmowers, electric low blowers, you know, they're doing all of it. They're trying to push the fuels, you know, hard engines out and get all this electric in. And in 20 years, maybe 30, I see there is going to be a big shift.
Is that because us graybeards are getting out?
Yeah, that's what I think. Since a lot of us old heads are, you know, dying, we're a dying breed, is what it is. And once a lot of us old dinosaurs are gone, you know, you're just going to have all these new cats. And of course, it's going to be the Jetson series, you know, just like in the cartoons. Everybody's going to be running around in their little electric whatevers, you know. Mm-hmm.
You know, you like Jane, his wife.
Go ahead, Doug.
What'd you say, Gray?
I said, you know, you like Jane, his wife.
What can we do, Danny, to stop this influx from happening like it is? Or is it a lost
cause? Honestly, I think it's a lost cause. I mean, you know, we see it in the biker world. We see it in the MC world. we see it everywhere. I mean, everything's changed so dramatically that, I mean, are we ever going to get back to the way it used to be? No. You know, everybody's all about moving forward, you know, and I don't foresee it happening. You know what I mean? I mean, I'd like to say eventually, you know, it wouldn't change, but eventually it probably will, like Betham said, because, you know, all the old heads are dying off. Some of them are even changing, you know what I mean? And so, you know, it's gonna be one of them things where everybody just follows the leader as usual, you know?
That's the problem. In our biker community, we're the ones that usually will stand up and tell the government to fuck off.
That's how it used to be, and now it's not happening. That's the biggest problem.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That is the biggest problem. I mean, because nobody wants to stand up anymore. Nobody wants to fight. Nobody wants to, you know, raise your hand at the damn man and just, you know, used to be the man. That's what we used to call the government, the man.
That's what it was about. Fuck the man, exactly. And now it's not like that no more.
But it's not like that no more. And it's a shame. That's exactly it.
That's because the man has given our children too much money.
Money.
It goes back to the educational system. I mean,
now we're starting getting the politics, y'all.
We'll all be arguing up in this motherfucking shit. Fuck all that.
My girl, Flossie from the UK. What about hydrogen engines? They're making progress, and she thinks that might be the future. Other than, because if you look at it with electric bikes, they don't have the infrastructure because they haven't even started rolling out a lot of, you know, the electronic charging stations. You're going to have them like there's gas stations, but they haven't tried that. What about hydrogen?
Doesn't hydrogen explode?
they got it in cars now too, though.
I'm just saying, I don't want to ride a bike that could possibly explode on me.
You already are.
Obviously,
you've never had your carburetor fall off.
He already rides a victory.
You ain't never experienced a leaky gas tank.
There we go.
I've done that and had the carburetor fall off. So,
I mean, honestly, what are they going to do? Put a hydrogen stations around the world instead of gas stations? I don't see that happening.
Nah, me neither.
That's one problem to another, I think.
What about the electric charging stations?
Well, that's with the electric charging stations. What kills me is it takes coal or nuclear power.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, come on.
That's why I said we're never going to get away from gas. I don't care what whoever, you know, wants to do. It's never going to happen because you need it no matter what you like.
What about water?
Well, that's the hydrogen she's talking about.
There's a system where an actual engine was made. It was a car engine that made water.
And you know what happened to that guy? As soon as he introduced it, he died.
Back in the carbon, huh?
The guy that created that motor that ran on water.
Yeah.
There was a lot of conspiracy behind that because when he created it and he went public, all of a sudden he was dead. Nobody knows why. And guess who owns the patent to that water motor? So guess what? That ain't never gonna happen.
Well,
that's one thing that ain't gonna happen.
They've done it on compressed air too.
Yeah. Yeah. I firmly believe that anything that us as public has access to, they'll never make anything that runs on that. You know what I'm saying?
Anything that's expensive.
Nothing that's free. Yeah.
Well, now what do you think Bedlam of biofuel stations working out if the logistics were right?
Okay, are we talking like grease traps from the local burger shop? I mean,
I was definitely not prepared for this show at all. What the fuck?
I mean, that's what it sounds like. You're talking to either that or going out and chopping a tree down and putting that in the gas tank. So,
well, Kokomo asks, biofuel stations would work if the logistics could be structured efficiently.
There are cars that are running like that. I mean, people build them now. I mean, that's custom stuff, you know, custom engine work. You know, you see it all the time.
Yeah, but you got to have a hookup from a Chinese restaurant to get all that grease at the end of the night.
You'll see us all sitting behind McDonald's fucking fighting for the tray.
Right, exactly.
I'm going to go around the round table on this question. And we've seen it happen before. When the gas prices rose out of reach for a lot of people, you've seen a lot of motorcycle sales. You think that's going to be the same thing by them happening now?
Yep. Yep, because it's already killing me on my truck. So I'm paying $80 to fill up my truck, and here it is, you know, 40 to, you know, getting in the low 30s, and I want to ride my bike. So, yeah, I think it's...
I see an influx in all of us moving out west.
My wife won't let me move to Arizona.
Yeah, I live out west, bro, and it still gets below zero out here, too. So, need to start thinking about some heat.
January?
Heating gear to wear when you ride.
Well, we're going to go into our final thoughts today. We're coming up on our hour mark. Again, you guys in the chat room, make sure you guys visit these channels, man. They're real good channels. They got their own type of take on the biker scene. Final thoughts, Bedlam.
I wish everybody could we could get right back into the old scene. Give me the old CB, you know, bikes. Give me the old chopper styles. You know, the cholo look with the big tires and everything. Sorry, Danny, I don't like them. When the first one I seen, I hated. So I was like, okay, yeah, it's not my thing. Stick with it. Stick in your parking lot, and you can keep playing your music. But that's my final thought, you know, as far as that. But, yeah, the scene needs to change. We need to find out a better, you know, I'd love to say I wish we could get a better – handle on the engine scene, you know, as far as fuel consumption. But I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, not for a long time, you know. I mean, they're trying it with this electric bike. Harley did. Nobody likes it. I don't like it. Hell with a live wire. You know, hell with the Pan Am. So, there you go. That's my final thought.
What up, Gray Star? What's your final thought?
Totally agree with Bedlam. I think maybe we should, as graybeards, put in more of an effort to try to school some of these new school cats in the old ways, and maybe, just maybe, like they used to say, if you save one, you've saved them all, you know? Maybe we save a couple of these younger cats with some old school ways and continue on the legacy. I don't know. That's just me thinking out the box. But right, good to meet you, Danny D.
Hey, good to meet you too, man.
All right, bro.
J-Man.
Well, bike building is never going to die because everybody's going to want to customize their own bike. And the bike builder makes his name off of building that bike and then Bedlam buying it from him. And then he builds another one and Danny buys one from him. That's how they make their name. And eventually, there's going to be a lot younger ones moving on. That's my final thought.
Danny, yours.
I don't know. My final thought is I think the bike game is going to stay the way it is right now for a while. Personally, you know, because you still got old school guys, and you still got guys that are like me that are in the middle, in between. You know, I'm about to be 42 next month. So, you know, I'm in between old school and new school. I grew up old school, but I grew up during new school. So I have a bit of both, you know what I mean? So I think it's going to stay around for a while, but you know what happens 30, 40 years from now when we're all dead? I don't really give a shit. I'm not going to be here. You know what I'm saying? It's funny. Yeah. It's funny that, that Graystar said, you know, about teaching the young bucks how to do old school traditions and all that. Like, that's basically what I was doing on TikTok. And now I'm going to continue doing that on YouTube. Is that's what my platform's always been about, is about teaching the new school cats on how to be respectful in the MC world, the biker world, period. And, you know, also, I was trying to shed light on a certain world that me and Hollywood come from, but I'm sure Hollywood agree, like, that's a lost cause at this point. But, you know, that's what I'm about, is, you know, just teaching the new school generation on the old school traditions, you know, trying to keep our shit alive. You know what I mean? That's all we can do, you know.
Rock and roll, man.
Hey, D, that old school traditions cover way more than just club life, too. So,
everything. Yeah, everything. Yeah, man. Everything in life.
I feel where you're coming from with that.
You know, loyalty, love, respect, honor. I mean, that shit, you know, keep your mouth shut. That goes across the whole spectrum, man. That ain't just biker. That's not just MC stuff. That's everything.
We've lost it, and hopefully we can gain it back.
I doubt it, but if we can get a few people, man, you know what I mean? The more the merrier, at least. Keep it going, you know?
For sure.
Damn right. Well, we appreciate Dan coming up on the show today. You're going to see a lot more of him. Insane Throttle is going to be helping him out, just like we do everybody else. But Danny's in my neck of the woods, and we think a lot alike. So it's we're going to get him going. He is on also on, what's it called, TikTok. So what's your TikTok, Danny?
It's Danny D'Lo _.
Well, Rick on. And Elsome Bedlam, what is your channel?
And I'm
going to
be
called?
Doing a lot more videos on YouTube now, because, like I said, TikTok, I'm up and then they take me down, and then I'm up and then they take me down, and I got to start a new page, a new name. And I'd rather stay on YouTube where they actually give a shit about us creators a little bit, you know?
Rock on. Bedlam, what's yours?
Man, you look me up on YouTube, and I got everything tied in, the Pinterest, Twitter. I mean, I got all of them right now. So every major media source anyway, except for Odyssey and Rumble, which I'm getting ready to start as well. So
awesome. Graystar, what's yours called? Well, next time you got to turn on your mic, man.
Damn it, got me again. It's Graystar's Place, and I believe Harm put a link into the description box, because I've already seen a couple new subscribers. I do appreciate that, y'all. And like Bedlam said, I too have Facebook, Instagram, and all that stuff. So be seeing more
YouTube too.
On other platforms. Yeah.
And don't forget our other independent writer, our Dark Soul. He has one on TikTok. So I wish I had that, but he's going to be on the show next week. He had some personal issues he had to deal with, but don't forget to go see Dark Soul over on TikTok. J-Man, what you got?
I do have Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Pinterest, and YouTube. It's all just J-Man Rooney, R-O-O-N-E-Y.
Rock.
Yeah, and the Toby, he was asking, just look up Bedlam Asylum on YouTube. It'll take you to all my other channels.
Rock on.
And
well,
thank you. Thank you. A big thank you for helping us out and get started.
Yeah, Hollywood. Yeah, man. Yeah. Thank you for this. Appreciate it.
From you guys take
you
it from there.
Kick us in the pants.
Anyway, that is the independent writers right there. You will be able to see this on Roku. And pretty soon, Amazon Fire TV. That's Insane Throttle TV over on Roku. And you're going to be able to see all these different creators over there, because we're trying to make a platform over there where they don't have to be censored or any of that good stuff. Tomorrow, the Neutral Zone with Wild on Twos by the Biker. And we got HD Vibe coming on tomorrow. So make sure you come check that out at 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're out of here. Thanks to our guests. We love y'all. See you guys.